Anna, our subject for this week was a singularly dedicated and faithful woman who was mentioned only once in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel. Her life was summarized in just four sentences, and yet there is so much that we can learn from her example. Her ministry was highly significant, especially in connection with bearing witness that the child that Joseph and Mary brought to the temple was indeed the promised Messiah. There were a relatively small number of people who knew and bore witness to the fact that the promise made by God from the very beginning was being fulfilled in their lifetime. I believe that the selection of those who received the revelation was completely intentional, like everything else in the Word of God. I recommend that you read the accounts of the birth of Jesus again, paying particular attention to the types and categories of people that were told who he was before he was even conceived and shortly after he was born. You will find the list very inclusive. For instance, there were angelic visitations to people like Zechariah, a priest, Mary, a young woman, and then Joseph. After Jesus was born, the shepherds, ordinary working people, were also visited by angels to give them the good news. Wise men from another country altogether who studied constellations received a revelation about the birth. And then there were two very old people, a man and a woman. Let's read about them in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. I read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The old man Simeon accurately prophesied about the life and ministry of Jesus. Anna, a very old woman, was described as a prophet, or prophetess if you like. The designation implied that she had a proven track record of accurately hearing from God and boldly communicating his messages to people. It also implied that prophesying was at least the main thrust of her ministry. So prophecy will also be the focus of our study this week. The gift of prophecy is of critical importance. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit that all believers are encouraged to desire. When Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he quoted the prophecy of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. In the days of Simeon and Anna, the Holy Spirit came upon only a handful of people. Now, all who have repented of their sins and put their trust in Jesus can be filled with the Holy Spirit and may prophesy as determined by the Holy Spirit. Also, in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 19 to 22, we read, Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Prophecy is such an important gift that it is not surprising that the enemy of our souls produces many counterfeits to confuse and control people, leading them away from the truth. Just like in the Old Testament, there are many false prophets that are deceiving people. There are repeated warnings for people to beware of false prophets. For instance, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, Jesus himself said, Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. It is noteworthy that when the disciples of Jesus asked him what the signs of the end of the age will be, his response started with warnings against deception. We often focus on the more dramatic and physical life-threatening signs like wars, famines, and earthquakes. But Jesus' advice for these is simply not to be alarmed by them. Indeed, those things only present a temporary threat. Deception, however, can cause someone to lose something far greater. Their eternal security in Jesus Christ. It can cause people not to stand firm till the end. False prophets deceive people and are far more dangerous than all the physical threats we may face. Let's read Matthew 24, verses 4 to 11. Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. We must learn to recognize and avoid false prophets. Here are a few suggestions to consider. Beware of those who take on the title of prophets or prophetesses. In the Bible, prophets and prophetesses were gifts of God to his people. They were recognized by their lives of devotion and obedience to God and the resulting accuracy of their words. None of them ever introduced themselves as prophet this or prophetess that. They simply ministered as they were empowered by God's Spirit. They never sought to use their gifts to control people's personal lives. I remember years ago when a man who had gained the reputation of being a prophet in a Christian fellowship told a young woman that God said she was to marry him. She cried in distress for weeks because she did not like him at all in that way and couldn't stand the thought of being tied to him for the rest of her life. And yet, on the other hand, she believed that he had to be right since he had gained the position of prophet in the fellowship. Thankfully, when we found out, some of us were able to reassure her that the prophecy was false. She too had the Holy Spirit, and she could trust that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with her spirit on such an important personal matter. She was delivered from her fear and distress. She went to him and boldly told him, "No." Remarkably, within a very short time, he moved on to another young woman. Unfortunately, many lives have been ruined by people who seek to control others for their own benefits by claiming that they have heard from God. Some of these false prophets also seek to gain control of local churches. In the second year after this church was planted, a woman joined us. Shortly afterwards, she informed Tim, the church leader, that she had attended some sort of school of prophecy, had a certificate to prove it, and that she should be installed into the office of prophets, or if you like, prophetess in the church. Tim, of course, said no, that there was no such office in the local church. There were, of course, people who demonstrated genuine prophetic gifting, and God was using them to bring clarity and guidance, but that the elders were the ones appointed to direct the affairs of the church. She moved on shortly afterwards. Many years ago, I had a personal encounter with one of these titled prophets. I had been unwell and was taking time off my research work to rest and recuperate. Tim and I had only been married for about a year. We found ourselves in the midst of the top leaders of a big charismatic denomination in that nation. One of the women dragged me over to be prayed for and prophesied over by the designated prophet of the whole organization. It was supposed to be a great honor and a privilege. And I have to admit, I was very interested in what he had to say. Without paying any attention to what he was told about my situation, he reeled off some words and instructions. Amongst other things, he said, I was to fast for 7 days, and at the end of the 7 days, I was to shout 7 hallelujahs. I remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. Later on, it turned out that Tim was also thinking, she's not going to do that. A wise old woman, much respected in that organization, was within earshot. As soon as the so-called prophet finished, she gently pulled us over to the side and said that I should not pay any attention to what the man said. She said that what I needed to do was to eat very well and rest, and that Tim was to make sure that I was well taken care of. Thank God for that wise old woman. How often do you hear people say, the prophet or prophetess told me to do this or that? Some people dash around in meetings and now online looking for some kind of prophetic word that would solve their problems or give them direction in their personal lives. Much like fortune telling, really, or things like the reading of horoscopes. People have replaced all that with so-called prophets and prophetesses. We know of Christians, including some leaders, whose love has grown cold, just as Jesus predicted, because they put their trust in so-called prophetic words that did not come true, or prophetic words that trapped them in situations different from God's path for their lives. Anna's life and ministry should help us to discern how we may live so that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit and hear God ourselves and be able to test the spirits behind the many prophetic words that are uttered all around us. Some of these people may get a few things right, but the things they get wrong can be so dangerous that it can destroy people's lives. We need to be careful. So what can we learn from a faithful prophetess like Anna? Things were mentioned in the short text about her that are examples that we can follow. First of all, it was said that she never left the temple. In her day, the physical temple represented where people would go to be in God's presence. We are not told how Anna got her food, whether she ever went shopping or went for walks. The important fact was that the temple was her home. If anybody wanted to find out where Anna would be, they knew where to go. It was the temple. She was always in God's presence. For us who believe, our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The corporate body of Christ is also indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do we live in the awareness of the constant presence of God the Holy Spirit in us and with us? Do we constantly fellowship with the Holy Spirit? If we pursue fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we will learn to discern His voice, giving us guidance, direction, counsel, and wisdom, enabling us to understand the truths in God's Word, and helping us, empowering us to put them into action. We would be walking in the Spirit in obedience, growing in godly character. We would hear God and be able to tell the difference between genuine prophecies and false ones. How often do we pause and ask God to help us to do our work each day according to His will and purpose? I have found that God always answers that prayer, so long as our intention is to obey Him in everything. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, we read that God gives His Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. The second thing we can learn from Anna is that she worshipped God day and night. Worship is really about who sits on the throne of our lives. Anna was completely devoted to God. Nothing else was more important, day or night. We must live our lives in such a way as to have only God on the throne. This is the first commandment. Everything should flow out of our worship of God as living sacrifices. In practical terms, we must learn to see our relationships, jobs, careers, aspirations, and so on, from the perspective of being children and faithful servants of God. Anything short of that leads to idolatry. The thrones of our hearts become crowded. We stop hearing God clearly and consistently and become prone to deception, or worse, deceive others. As believers and overcomers, we must continually declutter our lives to ensure that only God's will matters. So, no matter what our circumstances are, we should follow Anna's example of faithfulness in worshiping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit only, day and night, for the rest of our lives. If we live this way, we too will hear God clearly and be able to declare His messages boldly to others. We would also be able to test prophecies in order to recognize the false ones and reject them without fear. Another thing we can learn from Anna was that she devoted herself to seeking God through fasting and praying. Effort, diligence, and self-discipline have their place if we are to seek God as Anna and all the other faithful servants of God did. Paul made it clear that considerable effort was required to press on towards the goal for which he was called heavenward. He said to the Corinthians that he put his body under subjection in order to make it through to the end, standing firm in order to win the prize. Let's acknowledge that participating in personal and corporate fasting and praying is rarely convenient and easy. If we want to follow the example of Anna, we must stop pampering our flesh and devote ourselves to prayer, sometimes with fasting. And I prioritized thankfulness to God. I was discussing with someone lately about how people do not realize how much they have to thank God for until something they take for granted is impaired or taken away from them. Moaning and grumbling should have no place in our lives. In any case, it is depressing and harmful to us. We are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Anna had grown so close to God that she practiced this. The first thing she did when she walked in on the child Jesus and his parents was to give thanks. Let us learn to live in God's presence with thanksgiving in our hearts always. Finally, Anna spread the good news about Jesus Christ. She was a faithful witness. She did not keep the good news about Jesus to herself. She immediately spoke about him to those who were looking for redemption. Brothers and sisters, all God's children are called to be witnesses for our Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, playing our part in making disciples for him through our personal and corporate effort. How are we doing? Are we using the opportunities presented to us to be like signposts pointing to Jesus Christ, even in these times of a global pandemic? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring our way those who are seeking salvation and redemption, and let's be ready to bear witness to them that they will find what they need most in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Faithful prophets and prophetesses of God will prioritize these same things that Anna did. The false prophets will prioritize other things, seeking popularity, worldly wealth, control, and power over people, promising them material possessions and other temporal gains that often never materialize anyway. Let us steer clear of such people. Instead, let us follow the example of Anna. Live in devotion to God, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit so we can hear him and obey him. He will use us to bring God's word, the truth, to others. May God help us to hear and obey him always. Amen.